If you're in business, you need to be kept informed. In Business on Radio Kerry, every Thursday from 6 to 7pm.
You're very welcome back to In Business. Mary Gallagher here with you up until 7 o'clock this evening. Just a reminder, the interviews in this show will be podcast over the coming days. You can check them out by going to radiokerry.ie and clicking on the podcast section, or by searching In Business Radio Kerry on Spotify or iTunes. Now, recently on Radio Kerry, I'm sure you will have heard about it, we ran the Best of Kerry Awards in association with Lee Strand Milk, and we had 17 overall winners announced at a ceremony in the Ducas Coltis Centre at the Kerry Sports Academy in Tralee. And that was all after a nomination process by you, the listeners of Radio Kerry. Almost 40,000 nominations were made by 6,000 people across 17 categories. A top 5 shortlist, or top 6 in some categories, was made with the public vote used to determine the winner in each of the categories. And almost 150,000 votes were registered over a 2-week period, culminating in that recent Best of Kerry 2022 award ceremony. Well, the best hairdresser in Kerry as part of the Best of Kerry Awards 2022 is Emma Quirk here. And I'm delighted to say I'm joined now in studio by Emma Quirk. Emma, good evening. You're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Mary.
Massive congratulations. In the Best of Kerry Awards, you were voted best hairdresser in Kerry. Going into it, you knew you were in the top 5 in the county, but how did it feel to hear your name read out?
A bit of a shock, to be honest. There were so many nominations, and then to be top 5 was just, I suppose, the icing on the cake for me. But look, even to win it was actually a bigger surprise, to be honest. Everyone else that was in my own category, like, were deserving winners as well. But look, it's just another one on the belt, I suppose, and it's just an appreciation for myself that hard work and determination doesn't go unnoticed either. So yeah, it was lovely.
And of course, there are so many hairdressers here in County Kerry, even in Tralee, let alone the whole county.
I suppose there was a great selection, like, in the top 5, you know, and it was from all over Kerry, as we just said. But knowing that it was the only salon in Tralee, it was lovely. And you know, I felt like I was representing every other salon in Tralee as well, that things don't go unnoticed either. So yeah, no, it was fabulous.
Listeners will be familiar with you from Deirdre's programme, from the Talk About Show, where you're talking about all things hair, but we might talk about the business in general. Obviously, you've set up Emma Quirk Hair yourself. How long are you in business now?
I'll actually be in business 6 years on the 23rd of November this year. It's been a quick 6 years, and I suppose, look, you could kind of minus the 2 years of COVID as well in the middle of it. So yeah, I know, 6 years, it's been a long time, but a quick time as well.
Yeah, and as you mentioned COVID there, we've obviously had COVID. Mm-hmm. Now we're into an energy crisis, cost of living crisis. So I suppose in your relatively short time, 6 years of business, you've been through a lot. But maybe we might talk about COVID first. Obviously, in your industry, there were huge restrictions. You were closed for long periods of time.
Yeah.
And when you were allowed open, there were a lot of regulations. You know, you had to put in safety measures, which obviously cost your business money, even though you didn't have paying customers coming in to offset that. How was the whole COVID period?
I suppose, look, when you look back in it, and I suppose you reassess the whole thing, and that March 2020, I think it was just very unknown. And I'll never forget the day, like, the salon was just absolutely mental that day with clients, and all these messages started coming in to parents, you know, that schools were closing. And at the time, it was Leo Vadkar was coming out with a speech that afternoon, and I just remember, like, people having their phones on, and the live coverage was on their phones, and it just became a bit of a surreal moment. Nothing was kind of at the time being said about businesses, but then as the days went on, I think that was a Wednesday or a Thursday, and as the days went on and into the weekend, things were kind of starting to get a bit more serious, and people were starting to panic. And I remember people, like, cancelling their appointments, and, you know, and then it kind of started feeding out that, look, there is a possibility your business will be closed for 2 to 2.5 weeks. Did we think at the time that that's how quick it was going to be gone out of Ireland, you know? And I remember just making that decision, like, going, this is my business. Like, if I close my doors, am I ever going to open? You know, it was, you sat there in fear, I suppose, mainly, and you worried, going, you have people that are working for you, like, they're going to be out of jobs. You're closing your doors and there's no end in sight, you know, as the weeks went on. So yeah, we closed, just, that was all around Patrick's weekend as well. So we closed the doors, it spiraled from there, really. Like, and it just got to the point that we didn't know when it was going to reopen. And to be fair, our Irish Hairdressing Federation and our Irish Hairdressing Council, you know, they really fought hard for us, because like that, there were so many of us out of work. And we were actually, at the time, I think we were classed in level 5 for reopening, which meant it was going to be July, which was a long space of time. And I know in the end, with the fight that was put up, that, you know, we could go in with certain safety measures. Our federations and our councils came up with certain protocols that we could put in place, etc., etc. It came down to even our insurance companies making sure that we were going to be insured for these diseases, as what they were called, classed to us, you know. With all the fighting, we got moved to level 4. We were classed in the retail sector, so we actually eventually opened on the 29th of June. So that was a long space of time, but I suppose even reopening it, there was such an anxiety around it, but it was lovely just to go back and see everyone. And, you know, I suppose we got sick of talking to our own at home as well, but it was just nice to see everyone's faces. And there was a bit of a hype, you know, in it as well. And I suppose it kind of felt like I was reopening my business all over. So then from the 29th of June, we actually were opened up until October. We got only 16 weeks that time of opening. And I suppose there was always that uncertainty, were we going to close again, weren't we? And I remember it came to October and the announcement again came out, close again up to Christmas. So we closed again for 6 weeks, which was rough going. By 12 o'clock Wednesday night, you had to be closed. And I remember myself and my staff went in there at 7 o'clock in the morning, the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and worked till 12 and 1 o'clock at night time, just to get everyone in, because the uncertainty was, would we be allowed to open in that December, you know, for Christmas? But look, we were grateful. We got open for Christmas. We got 3 weeks there. We were allowed open the 1st of December, and we had to close on Christmas Eve. So we obviously worked to Christmas Eve, and then we closed our doors, and that was it. We were told at the time it could be the end of January, and we actually went until the 10th of May last year before we could open our doors again. So that was another long 5 months, you know. But look, I'm not going to lie, it was a nice 5 months. The previous year had been quite an uncertainty, and then you see how much you were loved by your clients and how much your clients really needed you. And then look, it's a social outlet for them as well, as much as it is for us, even though it's our job. But I suppose when we did reopen in May, that sense of want, I suppose, it's a good way of putting it. Just to know that your business has survived this, knowing that you're paying every bill while your doors are closed and you're making sure that you can give your staff their jobs back, was the big thing. But I did find that I reassessed a lot in those 5 months. I suppose it took a bit of time for myself. I hadn't taken the time since the day I opened. And it was just nice to recess the brain, come up with new ideas. How do you move forward if this scenario is ever going to come in play again, or, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And look, I'm so grateful since last May, like the way my business has gone from strength to strength. And a big thing it comes down to is thanking my staff, first of all, for always backing me with every decision I make. Some are good, some are bad. And then just having such a loyal client base, and that come in the door, and old and new, you know, and taking the trust in us to keep our doors open, and just be able to employ people as well, is the main thing. I suppose COVID changed a lot of people as well in that sense, you know. And I think we've become very grateful for things in life now than actually looking at the negatives. You know, you just look at the positives and you get up out of bed every morning and put a smile on your face and off you go.
Absolutely. And yeah, having come through all of that, we're now in the middle of an energy crisis, yeah, a cost of living crisis. Obviously, for a business like hairdressing, you are going to have to use electricity, you know, for obviously hair dryers, yeah, heating, water, all that kind of, yeah, thing. I'm sure there aren't really that many cutbacks you can make.
No. Like, realistically, as you said, electricity is like a main source within our business. You know, the heated water, hair dryers, styling tools. It's very minimum how much we don't need electricity. You have your phone, you have your internet, you have your booking system, which is all computer based, you know, so you do need power all the time. And then we've obviously been hit with price increases all around, like between our stock and everything else that's coming in. You know, look, in general day life, everything has gone up, so we're trying to afford to live, as you said, but then you're also trying to afford to try and keep your doors opened and make sure that your columns are going to be full, and, you know, the business coming in, and then you're reassessing the business again, and, you know, you have to look at your costs, and then you're saying, is that going to insult a person? Is a person going to be happy enough to pay that? You know, so you have a bit of an anxiety around it as well. People enjoy getting their hair done. We've seen it going back a few years ago, and if I'm right, it was before I actually opened myself, but I remember at the time, like, people cut back on their weekly blow dries at the time. So So you had to look at different avenues that you could go, I suppose, really, to try and have the business survive and keep it above water. And look, thankfully, we are keeping above water. But I can only say that for now. You know, we're in the current time. 3 months down the road, I do know that, like, the rates of the electricity are going up as of today again. So, like, I dread the next electricity bill. But look, that's everyone's situation. And there's no point in going around with the poor mouth either. You know, you just have to get up and get on with it. It's just unfortunate. We didn't get much breaks, look, as we said, in COVID, and we certainly aren't getting breaks again. I don't expect to be very chirpy as the months go on, but look, it's just put the hard work in and just make sure that the doors can be kept opened.
Absolutely. And in the budget, I know there were some measures for businesses with regards to electricity.
Yeah.
But I suppose that on the one hand, and then on the other hand, they're saying that come the end of February, they might be increasing that hospitality VAT rate, which applies to yourselves and hairdressing.
Yeah, which is kind of, I suppose, when you think of hospitality, you think of hotels and all that. Whereas then when you look back at COVID, we were classed as retail. So it's kind of like up in the air in a sense. But yeah, that's going to be a big hit again with our VAT increase, which means that's also going to be another price increase again. And like, that's going from, say, October to February. That's less than 6 months. And you kind of say, are you going to then let the clients back in? We're just being hit with one thing after another after another. And look, hopefully it won't come to that, but look, nothing is certain, is there?
I suppose we'd have to say that in your 6 years of business, you've learned a huge amount.
Yeah, look, I suppose taking on the task of becoming self-employed and opening your own business, you never know what's going to come up against you. Like, I'm still learning. You're always going to be learning. It's the same as in my career of hairdressing. We learn every day. We're doing a different course, or, you know, you're learning about a new product or whatever, but business is definitely another side of it. It's not just about doing hair. It was put to me one day, was I a hairdresser trying to run a business, or was I a salon owner doing hair? And that's a line that I use to myself quite often when I'm trying to get the work done. But the people don't see the work that has to go on behind the scenes either. You're dealing with, say, reps, you're dealing with new ventures within the business, you're dealing with staff, you're making sure that they're happy in their jobs. You know, there's all this kind of a thing. Well, you have to have a HR in front, you know, because you have to protect everybody. That's only just to name a few. Like, you've stock orders. Like, there's just so much. I couldn't even bring it to the top of my head now. But at the same time, I absolutely love it. I love the buzz off it. I don't think I'd ever change from being self-employed. And I'm very grateful that I was able to go into that position, to be honest. You know, and it does take a lot of courage and backing from family and friends, and support is a huge thing. And you know that you can pick up the phone to someone every day and just spill your guts out if you're having a bad day or having a good day, you know. But even going back to the award that I won with yourself for Radio Kerry, like, that just shows that I'm doing something right and that I am being recognised for putting in the hard work and putting in the hard grind and the long hours. Like, it's not just a 9-to-6 job or a 11-to-8 job every day. It's 16-17 hour days. You know, it's up early in the morning to get in there before everyone to try and get on top of things, and you're still there when everyone leaves in the evening. You know, you might have a list of clients you have to get back to, and you can't just leave the salon without that being done, because you're not going to sleep a wink that night. Do you know? So yeah, look, it's a huge commitment is the way, but you also have to try and have a bit of a personal life as well with that, so it's hard.
a juggling act.
Yeah, literally, yeah. But look, you find the balance eventually, don't you?
Well, look, Emma, we're going to have to leave there. Thanks so much for joining me. Congratulations once again. Best hairdresser in Kerry, as voted by you, the people of Kerry, in the Best of Kerry Awards. Congratulations once again, and thanks for joining me.
Thanks so much, Mary.
Emma Quirk there of Emma Quirk Hair. Best hairdresser in Kerry, as deemed by you, the listeners, in the Best of Kerry Awards 2022.